You are listening to BensTorah.com.
We're going to discuss different points that relate to that, but also have far-reaching applications as far as the issues that arose in the shaila that I dealt with last week, which again was somebody who needed an injection on Shabbos, not for pikuach nefesh purposes, but for that case was a human growth hormone. And we spoke about giving an injection on Shabbos for somebody who's, again, not chol sheyesh basakana, but chol she'ein basakana. And we pointed out that since, when the injections are given, it doesn't always draw blood, so even if once in a while it draws blood, that's only going to be not a psik reisha. A psik reisha would be that it happens all the time, and psik reishas are usur. Of course, you don't intend to cause bleeding, you just want to give the injection. So since it's an unintended consequence, it would be if it happened all the time, psik reisha. And since it happens sometimes, not all the time, it's not even a psik reisha, it's only a davar she'eino miskaven, and we hold davar she'eino miskaven is mutar lechatchila, and therefore it is mutar lechatchila to give as we spoke at last week, an intramuscular injection, a subcutaneous injection, what we call a regular injection into the muscle. That would be mutar lechatchila on Shabbos, even if once in a while, or even if a lot of times, even if it often causes blood, since it doesn't always cause bleeding to happen. Tonight we're going to add two or three points to that, and then we'll talk about the main issue that I'd like to speak about tonight, which is going to be the nature of that shiloh that I got, was that there was a disposable syringe, there was a disposable needle attached to the bottom of the syringe, meaning there was a vial of medicine, and on top of that you had a one-time usage disposable needle that you would screw on, inject, and then unscrew and throw out. So that's going to be what we're going to talk about the second half of the shiur, or the last two-thirds of the shiur, and that's a question of putting together kalim. That's a question of screwing on Shabbos, which has applications in terms of salt shakers. We have a salt shaker right here. You let us screw a salt shaker. You let us screw in the adjustable stenders. Some people have metal adjustable stenders. You screw it, unscrew, you loosen, you tighten. Soda bottles, that's also true. That might be different, then we'll have to see why.
Baby bottles, that's the same kind.
Baby bottles also might be different. Those would be like soda bottles, screw top, but you'll see there's one sort to distinguish between bottles that have a cap on them and maybe a salt shaker and other things, and we'll see why that could be different. So that's what we're going to do tonight. Let's begin with one last point about injecting on Shabbos, and that is if it's an injection that has to get into the vein. So here we have Tzitz Eliezer. We saw the first part of it last week. The Tzitz Eliezer, Chelek Yud Gimel Siman Memhei, talks about Zrikos Sha'osin Letoch HaVrid. Vrid is a vein. So he says, that of course is going to be also Daraisa on Shabbos. We'll see in a moment why. And therefore it will only be permitted for Chol She'esh Bo Sakana. Because in order for the doctor or the nurse, whoever is giving the injection, to know that they successfully got it to the right place, they always want to make sure that there is blood. Look in the second line. Second half of the second line. There's always a need. You always have to draw a little bit of blood to make sure you got to the right place in the arm or wherever else it is. Unless it's a very obvious vein that they're accessing, but otherwise you have to make sure you get in the right place, and therefore the blood that you need is not an unintended consequence like when something just happens to bleed. You want it, you need it, and therefore that would be an issa d'oraisa. However, even though it is a intended consequence, it is, you're mechavin for it, and it happens all the time also, so it's certainly going to be an issa d'oraisa. And now in the next... Look at the next point. The Afal Pichain, perhaps he suggests, as it's Tzitz Eliezer, maybe there won't be an issa d'oraisa even into a vein, even in an intravenous injection. Why? Because as Mr. Novak was suggesting, Einot tzarech leguf tzirus hadam, you don't need the actual black and blue mark, or the actual pooling of the blood, or the actual blood coming out. Ki'im, you just It's not that I need that. It's not that I want that. It just happens to be the indication. The litmus says, "Kim shal yadekin yakir imachuvin nesinas hazrika," exactly like you suggested, Mr. Novak. That's the indication to indicate that you got it or not. And what is it therefore like? V'hevelei k'chofer v'ein tzarech ela afara. We know that in order to violate an issa d'oraisa, you have to. It has to be malacha shetzrich leguf. You want the essential act. Here, do you want that blood to be pooled? Do you want that blood to come out that when you go into a vein? You want to know where you just want to make sure that it got to the right place. But you don't actually need that blood. You're not going to be using that blood, that little bleeding that happened. You're not going to be using it. It just happens to tell you. So maybe that wouldn't be considered an issa d'oraisa. And in the next paragraph, he suggests an even better svara, I think. You know what he says? He says a sugi that we know from a totally different context. Look at the third paragraph, the second paragraph under two. He said maybe there's another reason why there should not be an issa d'oraisa when you take out blood from a vein. Mm-hmm. Because what is the issa of chavala? The issa of chavala we spoke about last week, whether it's netilas neshama or it's mefarek. Let's talk about mefarek. What's mefarek? The Rama says that taking out blood is mefarek. You take out a liquid from a solid in which it is enmeshed. Right, it's something all squished together, and you take out something from it, like squeezing some orange juice out of an orange. There's juice there, it's enmeshed in the pulp, and you squeeze it out. Well, here, are you squeezing blood out of the organ in which it's enmeshed?
No.
If you're getting a vein, it's pooled there. It's not enmeshed in a solid.
Right.
And therefore, he suggests, Cecilia suggests, Hema mifkid pocket besoch avrid. You remember that Gemara in Ksuvas and other places that talks about dam besulim, if dam besulim is v'chaburi michpor, mifkid pocket. If the halacha is, if there's a pool of liquid, if there's a pool of blood and you make a hole and access that pool of blood, there was like a reservoir over there that you're just opening the reservoir, that's not considered chavala, that's mutter. And that's another reason why he suggests it also won't be a violation of chavala. Even an intravenal, here he's saying a gigantic cool, even an intravenous injection would not be considered an issa d'oraisa because of these two svaras. And he brings an interesting proof. He brings a proof from hakazas dam. You know, in the olden days, they used to use leeches to do hakazas hadam, or in the old days, they didn't just use, nowadays we use leeches, but in the olden days, they used the leeches, or maybe even they just let bloodletting just with needles, just let the blood flow out. And he brings a shas of chus, which we're not going to go into, that who says this point, that when you let blood out from a vein, that's not called chavol, that's called dam is mifkud pocket. The dam is pooled together. It's not enmeshed in the flesh. It's a pool. There's a reservoir of blood. You're just opening up the covering of the reservoir. And he adds another svar lahakel, at least to knock it down from a... from Isser Skila d'oraisa. He says, if you hold, this is an interesting svara. You remember when we spoke last week about chavala? What's chavala? So one opinion was it's netilas yisham. You're taking away the body. You're taking away the life. Because hadam hu hanefesh, the life, dam is the life force. You take away the dam, then you're taking away life. But the Rambam said no. Like I mentioned just a moment ago, the Rambam said that causing bleeding is mefarik. Mefarik was, what's mefarik? Where was mefarik done? What part of the Melechus Shabbos is mefarik? Mefarik was when you had a kernel of grain covered over by chaff and you shmush it, not to grind it up, but to release the chaff on the outside from the kernels of grain. If that's the case, that's a melacha that involves food, preparation of food. The rule is that the shi'ur for all the melachas that involve food, it's only a violation if you violate a grogeres worth of malacha. So therefore, mefarik, the Rambam holds, would only be violated if you do piruk on mefarik on a grogeres. When you donate blood, yes, you do take out a grogeres. A grogeres is a big date. You do take out, I've given blood before, and I sometimes wonder, like, how in the world are they taking out the date? It's like, mamsh, a whole pint. You know, it's come out a liter.
And then you feel weak after that, right?
So he's saying that even if you would donate blood on Shabbos, if it wouldn't be pikach nefesh. But even if you do, unless you get a grogeres, it's not going to be the shear that's necessary to get skila. Now, Mr. Novak mentions not an issa d'oraisa. No, I don't want to say it is an issa d'oraisa. Chatzi shiur is also d'oraisa, but it's not going to be an issa skila. So it knocks it down a notch. Right.
Not only is it as much as the habit of the ownership of the kana, but it's still a d'oraisa level.
Right. Okay. It would be a d'oraisa level. It would be the rest, right. Okay, but either way, the Tzitz Eliezer assumes that an intravenal shot or injection, or even a, when they put an intravenous, it would be the Raisa, but then he has these interesting stories of the Hakel. That's finished with injections. Let's move to the next point. What about another part of the injection process, and that is the alcohol preps, when they wipe the area there where they're going to inject with alcohol? Is that squeezing? Is that, that's really the only shot. Is it squeezing the alcohol or the hydrogen peroxide, whatever they might be using, out of the gauze or out of the gauze in order to make the injection? In order to have a clean spot for the injection. It says in Sicilia, yes, and it's the end of the same shuv. That which they clean it off with tzemer gefen, with some alcohol, with some cotton, that's tevula b'meiboros, they would dip it in, I'm assuming it's meiboros, it's something like alcohol. He says, I'm not worried about schita. And he brings three or four or five svaras why we're not worried about schita. And I don't want to get into them, but it's just interesting, the end of this discussion. So let's just finish it off. So I broke it down. I numbered that. Number one, la'achar mikein zorkim chatichas tzemer gefen la'ashba. What do you do with this cotton after you used it to get some alcohol on the arm?
Garbage.
You throw it out. And what happened to the liquid that was
squeezed
out? That also goes leave, but it just sort of dries up or drips off. Yeah. So if that's the case, that's not their schita. And therefore, that's not going to be a violation of schita. Number two, he says, this is an important question also regarding baby wipes. Mm-hmm. Baby wipes, anyone who has a son or a grandson knows that life is different because we have baby wipes. And if we didn't have baby wipes, life would be much more miserable. Mm-hmm. Baby wipes is a problem of schita on Shabbos, because when you're cleaning the baby's bottom, so this is gigantic, raging machlokas achronim. And it boils down almost to a machlokas whether the liquid is injected, not injected, but is absorbed in the fabric, in the baby wipe, and when you apply it to the bottom of the baby, you're squeezing it out. That doesn't sound good. Or it's just so moist that on the surface of the fabric or the surface of the wipe is the liquid, and when you're wiping the baby, you're wiping it's the moisture on the outside of the wipe that you're applying to the baby's bottom, and that's not schita. So he says the similar svara. He says, does he say that here? Yeah, that's number four. Number four, he says maybe it's only. You'll get there. I just said it out of order. Number two is he says that it's only psik resha. You're not actually interested in squeezing the liquid out. You just want that just ends up happening. So it's only psik resha. Again, psik reshas are still asur d'oraisa. Keep in mind, people think psik resha mutter. No, psik resha is asur, even asur d'oraisa. If it's lo nichle, then it's only asur d'rabban. But this is okay. Finally, he brings in number three. He brings Rav Moshe, who says another point. We're not going to go into that. Okay, I don't want to go into all the details. Anyway, he says the fact that you're going to throw it out, the fact that you don't really need the liquid to be squeezed out. So he holds that using the alcohol prep pad, which we use, especially the prep pads that we use now that are usually in those little containers, you rip it open to access the thing inside, which is mutta, as long as you don't rip the letters, it's going to be better than a regular piece of cotton that's absorbed with alcohol, because there's a lot more liquid on the outside. You're not just squeezing the liquid out from inside the fabric, it's on the surface. That's going to be one moment. So Sicilia says alcohol preps are mutter to use for these various reasons on Shabbos. Okay, now let's get to the main part of the shir, and that's what I want to talk about. And as you'll notice, this shiloh that we're going to talk about, which really is screwing a syringe together, that the only reason why I'm talking about a syringe is because that's how the shiloh came to me. But it will also apply, as we mentioned, to salt shakers, maybe soda bottles, baby bottles, adjustable studs, any other time that you want to screw something on together to make it usable on Shabbos. So here we're going to get into a very important shiloh that has three aspects. Binyan Bekarka, which is not really Nogaya. Binyan Bekelim, or Ein Binyan Bekelim, and we'll have to see the parameters of that. And then, of course, Makeh B'Patish. Makeh B'Patish is taking an unusable object and making it into a, yes, usable object. So that's really what we're going to have to talk about. When you have this syringe, what is the iser of taking, again, just so you understand, you have a vial of medicine on the bottom. On top, you just have some grooves to screw something in. You have a disposable needle that on the bottom of this needle is a plastic circle that allows you to screw a plastic cap, sort of, that could be a cap to the vial, it's screwed onto the vial. When you inject the back of the vial, it shoots it. The back of the vial has an injection thing that you could shoot it, now that the needle is screwed on, through the cap that was just screwed on with the needle attached to it, and it'll go through the needle into the person's body. That's the Shiloh that we're discussing. I wish I could show you my pictures that they sent me on my text messages, but I don't want to violate the privacy of the person who sent the, I could send a message to all of you right now, but I don't want you to, know who sent this message. Okay, so the Sugya begins in Gemara and Shabbos, Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, a famous case called Mita Shel Tarsiyim. Who are Tarsiyim? I'm not sure if Rashi's going to explain a profession or a city where people have this profession, but Rashi says they're Tzorfin Achoshes, they're copper workers, copper smiths, and they would be traveling fixermen, they would be traveling repairmen. And they would go, V'holchen me'ir le'ir le'lachton v'nosin imahem mitel shel prakim. They had a portable cot. They would have to travel, that was their business, and they didn't have hotels, they didn't have motels, so they'd have a cot to sleep on, COT, or a bed, and they would quickly assemble it, you know, whatever they would sleep that night. We have sleeping bags, they didn't have a sleep, you know, we have these blow-up mattresses, we have hotels there, they wouldn't stay in an inn, they would just take a bunch of sticks, and they would stick them one to the other, and they'd have a bed ready in 3-4 minutes. That's the question. Could you use that, could you assemble that bed, that disassemblable bed? You know where this really comes up? Pack and plays. Hmm. Pack and plays is a bed that's collapsed, and then you have a guest, you want to assemble it, you pull like this, snap it over here in 4 or 5 places, and shine, you have yourself a bed on Shabbos. It sounds very similar, but correct. It's different maybe because it's one piece, although you are snapping the pieces together. It's one piece because the fabric is holding it. I hear you. It's one piece.
It is one piece.
Okay, you're still snapping everything where it is to make it usable.
Like it's hinges that you can make either straight or loose.
Okay, the question could still arise. Fine. So what's the halacha with this mita shel tarsiyim, this assemblable, this easily assembled cot or bed? So Rabbi Shmuel, Damri Chavaya, this is Gemara and Shabbos, Mem Zayim, Amud Aleph, bottom line. Hamatzot mita shel tarsiyim b'Shabbos, chayv chatas. You assemble such a bed, you mamish violated an Issa d'Oraisa. Look at the very important Rashi on the top of Amud Beis. What does Rashi say? Why chayv chatas? What do you think these first three words mean? Hutchiloso ugmaro. This is the beginning and the end. What is he saying? Does that sound like bona?
Yeah.
Because you're beginning it and ending it? That's nothing to do with bona. That's not bona. Bona doesn't mean to finish. Bona means to build.
You're finishing it.
That's not bona. Look, he continues. V'nim tza'osek kli. You're making a kli. And therefore, v'chaya mishum, not bona. Mishum makeh bepatish. Oh, when you start and finish something, when you make something from beginning to end, that is called not bona, but makeh bepatish. What is the definition of makeh bepatish? It's the av l'chol gomri malacha. There is no definition of makeh bepatish. In any area of malacha that you might be, anything that you might want to make on Shabbos, the last step is going to be, of anything that you might do, is makeh bepatish. There's no defined action. Right? Kosev, we know that Kosev is writing this kind of letter, two of them. Makeh bepatish, there's no defined action. It's just whatever happens to be the finishing step.
But it's the finishing step in Kalim.
In constructing something. Yes. I don't want to say the word keli because the poskim talk about makeh bepatish by ma'acholim. I would say putting the cherry on top of a banana split.
Right, it's probably not makeh bepatish.
So it's only not makeh bepatish because we don't want to play makeh bepatish for ma'acholim. But the concept is putting the finishing touch on something that you're creating. Right, it's not a makom pater, it's on the ksiva. I don't mean it like that. I don't mean it on the malacha. I mean a malacha in the chol moed sense, not in the Shabbos sense. Something, a constructive, an item that you constructed, the finishing touch on that.
Let's make it usable. Make it
whatever you made, whatever something that was unusable to is now made usable. Right. And then he says, why don't we speak of bone? And Velomi Shem Binyan, says Rashi, De Ein Binyan Bekalim. Shita's Rashi and Kol Hashas is Ein Binyan Bekalim. And therefore, whenever you talk about putting something together on Shabbos, it can't be a concern of Binyan. It's only a concern, as Rashi says, of Makom Patrish. So let's just stop here for a second. Let's think. Okay, so that means my issue with the syringe, could it be Binyan?
No.
Of course not. Ein Binyan Bekalim. What is the only possible discussion that we could have about this, assembling the syringe? The only possible thing we could discuss is Makom Patrish. That's where we would, you know, think about, is it an issue when it comes to Shitas Rashi? Continues the Gemara, Meisve, you're saying that it's Chai V'chatas if you assemble this bed, this traveling bed, Hamachzu Kana Menorah B'Shabbos. Picture you have this candelabra with the branches that come out of the middle are removable. So if you disattach it and reattach it, you're Chai V'chatas. However, if you have a Kana Sayadin, this is very simple to visualize. Let's say you have a painter who has to paint the roof of this, the ceiling of this room. So you could have a ladder. What else could you have?
A big pole,
a roller. And what do you have on the roller? You have a 4-foot pole, and another 4-foot pole, another 4-foot pole, another 4-foot pole, and now you have a 16-foot pole. That one pole attached to another pole attached to another pole is exactly what we're talking about here. A kana, a reed, meaning like a tube, a pole, of somebody who does sayad, who applies plaster on the wall.
Painter, yeah.
Painter, like a painter or a plaster guy. So, are you allowed to connect the different tubes of the poles to extend or elongate your roller, your paint roller? Says the Gemara, says the Meisei, lo yach, sir v'mechzir pater v'alaser. So we have something, we have a distinction between attaching the branch of a candelabra to the body of the candelabra on Shabbos, which is an Issa Daraisa, as opposed to attaching the poles one to another to extend the length of the roller, the paint roller. What's the difference? How come the Kana Shel Menorah is going to be Issa Daraisa and the branch of the tubes, the poles of the plaster guy, the painter, is only going to be Issa Darabanan? Says Rashi, I explained that. Fine. Look at the last Rashi. Rashi explains why is it that the roller, the paint roller, is attaching of one tube to the other tube is not asa daraisa. Says Rashi, Potter, the reason why you're not chayav daraisa is she'ein ze gemaro. Remember, according to Rashi, what's our whole question? Is it makom patrish? Did you finish something? Did you conclude making something? You made it, finally made it? Says Rashi, your pata, why she'ein ze gemaro? When you attach the 4-foot pole to the other 4-foot pole to make yourself an 8-foot roller, that's not the end of it. She'itzarech lachzor uleparko tamid. You're continually
changing
the length of the poles. You continue disattaching and attaching. What do you see from this Rashi? A gigantic bomb. You see that even if you do something that theoretically could be makom patrish, you're making something usable, you're making something that you didn't have before, but if it's to use back and forth, you're going to take it on and off, that's going to make it not makom patrish, not osu daraisa. So at least, again...
The same thing with the bed. You're going to take it apart when you travel further on. Yeah.
Exactly. That's the meisve of the Gemara. Exactly. That's exactly the shah of the Gemara. That's exactly what I said. How could the Gemara say before that mita shel tarsim, assembling it, is asa daraisa? You see from this point, from kanes shel sayadin, that should only be asa darabanan, because you take it apart and put it together. Just like this traveling bed, which that's the whole point of it. You take it apart and put it together. That's right. Thank you.
And the menorah that you take apart and this.
So I don't really have a good picture of what the menorah looked like.
Probably you can take out the branches of the menorah.
Yeah.
So you do it usually for cleaning.
I guess you don't take it out regularly. You probably leave it there until you need to.
It's not for the functionality of the menorah.
It's probably screwed on or unscrewed, but you don't. But you leave it for a long while. You don't say undo it.
And the sayadim, you change the length for the functionality of the.
Okay, so you're getting into something very complicated, and we're going to talk about a chazmish who talks about functionality. Hopefully, we'll get there. Okay, now I'm going to skip source number 5. Let's look at a Gemara, another Gemara that will make our lives complicated. Gemara in Shabbos, source number 6, Kuf Beis Amud Beis. Gemara says, if somebody is Ayil Shufsa B'Kufina Demara, we know that a Mara is a shovel. That we know, a spade. So you're going to put in a Shufta in the Kufina of a shovel. What does this mean? Says Rashi, Shufta is a Yaseid Katan, it's a small peg. Let's say you have the two parts of every shovel. You have the stick and the bottom metal piece, which is the shoveling part. And how do you connect them? On the bottom of the pole or the top of the metal piece, there is a hole, and you slip a peg through it, and it grasps both pieces together, holds them together. So could you insert that peg, I don't know if it's a metal peg or a wooden peg, through the holes of the matching holes of the pole with the spade part on the bottom to hold them together? Rav says, Yechayev Mishum Bona. Wow. Shmuel says, no, it's only Makabe Patish. Now, wait a second. Does Rav make sense to you? How could that be Bona?
Bekalim.
Yeah, Inbinyan Bekalim. Rashi said before, Inbinyan Bekalim. Here we have a Gemara that says that if you attach two parts of a spade, the handle with the usable, with the digging part, it's bona. I don't understand. Ain't been a bekelim. It's a shverkeit on Rashi. It seems to be a Gemara against Rashi. I mean, forget Rashi. The Gemara says ain't been a bekelim. And here the Gemara is talking about a kli, and Rav says that it's bona. I don't know what to do. Shmuel, okay. Shmuel says it's makav patish because let's just understand Shmuel. What do you have before you did this activity of putting the peg in? You had a useless pole and a useless shoveling piece of metal, and you made it into a useful shovel. So I understand this Makav Patish. So you know who asks this question? Not necessarily on Rashi, but Tosis right over there says, V'afal Gav, source number 7, he says, how could you say that attaching with the peg, the pole, the handle to the metal piece makes it bona? Frektos is in source number 7 in Shabbos, Kuf Beis Amud Beis. V'afal Gav, D'kalama, Ein Binyan B'Kelim. The next two lines is a very famous Shita of Tosis. Shita's Tosis is that even though we said in the Gemara, Ein Binyan B'Kelim, that only means in general. But sometimes there could be binyan bekelim, like this case of attaching a handle to a spade. Let's see what the Tosa says it. Omri, Tahino, that which we say ain't binyan bekelim, davka b'hachzaras bate trisino b'menorah shel chulyos, that's only when you're reattaching two parts of something that's already existing. Aval binyan gomor, those two words are going to be keywords that we're going to have to define. But a complete building something, a ma'aseh of building something in a complete way, mechayev bekelim kumo bekarka. Tosa says you are chayev for binyan bekelim if you're doing it in a complete way. He's going to explain. Like we said, by mita shel tarsiyim. The Gemara said in this bed that you assemble in this assembly, mtaka, if you stick the pieces together, chayev chatas. Do you remember how Rashi explained mita shel tarsiyim? Rashi said Makashov Bepatish. And Tosis is saying, no, that case of Mita Shel Tarsiyim, that bed that you could take apart and put together again, why are you Chayev? Not because of Makashov Bepatish, because you could do Binyan. There is Binyan if you attach it, if you take a bed, put all the pieces together, then it will be Bona. So now he's going to give us the parameter. When does Tosis say that there could be Binyan B'Kalim? Ve'en chiluk bein kelim l'karka. When do we say, what's the difference between karka, kelim, yesh binyan b'kelim, ein binyan b'kelim? He says the only time that we make a difference is ela b'makom she'en chizik v'umnos. If it's not done tightly and it's not done professionally. So if it's weak and it's not professional, then debekli lo chashav binyan, or b'karka chashav binyan. Then there's going to be a difference between karka and kli. So if you have a tool that you attach strongly together, or professionally you attach it together, that's going to be binyan, even on a kli. And the only time we say ain binyan bekelim is when? The only time, says Tosfos, we say ain binyan bekelim is either if it's a weak attachment, if it's weak and it's not professional, so let's think for a second. Let's go straight to the bottom line. I have this syringe. According to Rashi, there's no binyan because I'm being bekelim, but maybe it's makom patish. I'm making a useless needle and a useless vial of medicine. I'm attaching them, screwing it on. I'm manufacturing a syringe. So it's makom patish, definitely not bonin. According to Tosos, let's think. There's an attachment here. I'm attaching A to B, the needle, screw-on cap, the screw-on cap that has the needle coming out of it, and the vial of medicine. Is that bona? Well, is it attached strong? Let's assume it's strong. I didn't see it in my hands, I just saw the pictures on my phone. Is it professional? Nah, any dodo head could just screw on the cap, so it's not professional. If it's strong, then maybe it will be bona, according to Tosos. But it could be that you have to...
Maybe it's going to be
That's going to be a whole different svar that we'll get to maybe if we have time later.
Maybe it's something that you always need a professional to do it. That's the definition. It's professional.
Right. If it would be weak and you wouldn't, and a plebeian could do it, so it would be okay.
Right.
It would not be bona. Right. Let's look. Jump to the Magen Avraham on the bottom. I'm sorry I didn't number it. The bottom of page 5. The Magen Avraham in Shin Yud Gimel Sif Yud Beis. Magen Avraham says something about... I don't know exactly what he's talking about. The Gemara speaks about this, the Shulchan Aruch speaks about this, the Magen Avraham speaks about it. I think it's talking about the following. Imagine you have a goblet, a metal goblet. You have a base, and you have the cup part with the stem coming down the bottom. And you have to screw on the goblet with the stem coming down the bottom. The bottom of the stem screws into the base. You know they have those disposable goblets, plastic ones. You take the top part, the bottom part, you click it together. So champagne, right, a champagne glass, something like that. So let's say you have one made out of metal, and on the bottom of the stem, it screws into the base. You hear the picture? Okay. So I think that's what he might be talking about. I'm not really sure. Kosos shelanu ha'asuim becharitzim. Charitzim are grooves. Things that you screw into. Saviv. Umaha hudakim b'chozek. And you screw it in tight. L'chuli yama aser. He asks the Magen Avraham, if that's the case, Shulchan Aruch, the Gemara already says it's aser. V'lo dami l'kisei ha'kelim. Right? Some people mentioned earlier maybe screwing on a bottle, a baby bottle, screwing a bottle cap on food. So all these things are, if you screw a bottle cap or a baby bottle, maybe that should be. Also, you're screwing into a screwing, it sounds from the Magen Avraham, that when you screw something tight, it's going to be usher. It says, no, when you screw a cap or you screw on a baby bottle, v'lodan l'kisei ha'kel sh'asuyim kach, t'hasam ein asuyim l'kiyum. It's not made to stay that way. What's the point of a baby bottle that you screw it closed and it stays that way? That's pretty foolish. That's the whole ruining the whole point of the baby bottle. And I assume can rock the paschon on the sorgon tamid. Anything that you're gonna, even if you screw it, if it's made to open and close regularly, that should be okay. Let's think for a second. Again, jump to the shtender, the adjustable shtender. If an adjustable shtender is something that you screw, right? Screwing is a problem. Screwing could be a real problem. But if you do it regularly, screw it and unscrew it, screw it and unscrew it, it's going to be, that adjustable standard is going to be no different than a baby bottle. No different than a soda bottle, maybe. If something is made to open and close, open and close, open and close, that should be mutter on Shabbos. Now, I want to jump to one point that the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the Alter Rebbe, said, that Mr. Novak was mechaven to, and this relates, he says it, it's one line in a long discussion of this topic. On page 6, Shulchan Aruch HaRav and Shin Yud Gimel, we're going to finish with two more points, Seif Chaf. I underlined it. Let's say you screwed something on and you screw it there to be there for only a short time. For example, the syringe that we have, how long do you want it to be screwed on for?
As long as it takes
2 minutes. Yeah, we're talking 3 minutes. You're going to screw it on, give the injection, unscrew it, throw it out. With your, the biohazard, needles. So says, look at the Shulchan Aruch HaRav in Sif Chaf. I underline it. V'im eino asi lehiskayim. One second.
Yeah.
Imenu asu l'hiskayim harbe. If you put something together, you build something on Shabbos in such a way that it's not made to stay for a long time, harizeh binyan arai v'asu midibrei sofrim. If you build something for in a permanent way, that's asu d'oraisa. If you build it that's not supposed to be permanent, then it's only asu d'rabbanan. Ela im kein eno asli l'kiyum klal. But if you put it together, you build it so that it should be not, it shouldn't last at all. It would be, you know, very, 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 very temporary, just in and out. So that should be mutter entirely. It's not even asu d'rabbanan. Ooh, so maybe this svara of the Shulchan Aruch Harav could relate very easily to our syringe. Because when you have the syringe, you want it screwed on, because the injection screwed off. So is that permanent? Definitely not. Is that, you know, for a little while? That would be asu d'rabbanan, that's binyan arai? Not even that. Here it says, Shulchan Aruch Harav, it's eino asu l'kiyum klal, maybe it would be mutter, and it would not be considered bona because of this short-term usage. Now, we have a fascinating, I want to finish off with an incredible chazanish. This chazanish, of all places in the world, is talking about what? This is one of the most famous chazanishes in the world. A famous chashidus chazanish about electricity. Chazanish by electricity says that when you create an electrical circuit, what are you doing? You're violating an issa d'oraisa bona. You're building a circuit. Now, he doesn't necessarily mean that you're building and it's a circuit that you're building. He might mean something a little bit more complicated. He means, like I spoke downstairs with many times, if you have a fan that's not plugged in or that's not turned on, it's a heap of metal and plastic, useless. What happens when you run electricity through it? You get the electrons running through those wires.
Okay.
All of a sudden, that turns into what we call in English a fan. Okay. It's no longer a heap of plastic. So you made something dead, you made it alive. That's the Shittas Chazon Ish. And in that context, he says something interesting. He says, when you have a kli, everybody agrees, no one's going to argue that a baby bottle you could open and close. A soda bottle you could screw and unscrew. Why should that be different than making something, screwing in other things? Look what he says. He says, I'll say it outside. When you have a kli, you have a baby bottle. What happens when you unscrew the top? You still have a bottle, but it's just open. Says the Chazon Ish, a fascinating svara. He says, when you have a kli that you cover and uncover, cover and uncover, cover and uncover, you have a kli with a cover without a cover. As opposed to when you have two parts of something that only achieve their use when you screw them together, then even if it's temporary, even if it's momentary, it's going to be bona. Let me say that story.
Even by a baby bottle?
No. Baby bottle is usable, it's just uncovered. Right. It's open, it's a bottle. It's covered or not covered. I understand what you're saying. Let's leave it aside. Let's talk about a soda bottle. You have a soda bottle, it's open or closed. Open or closed. As opposed to, let's talk about the syringe. Hold on one second. When you have a syringe, do you have an open syringe and a closed syringe? No, you either have a usable syringe or none, or nothing.
Right.
Says the Chazon Ish, a very fine distinction.
Yes.
When the screwing, and we said before a moment ago, we had the cool of the Shulchan Aruch Harav, that if something is temporary, absolutely temporary, meaning it's just momentary, it's mutter legami, there's no binyan. Says the Chazon Ish, that's only if you're just covering it or uncovering it. Uncovering it or uncovering it.
It's usable either.
But if it's usable with or without it. But if it's only usable because you're connecting the two pieces, that's bona.
Yeah.
Now, the Chazon Ish wants to apply that idea to electricity. Because you have a fan, which is useless. You put the electrode, you turn it on, the electrodes run through it, the electricity goes on. All of a sudden, even if it's just for a moment, you turn on, turn off, that was already a bonus.
Anything on the timer is.
Right, but I don't want to get into electricity because that's not a sugya. When we have our syringe, you have a useless vial and a useless needle, And when you put them together, they become useful. So therefore, even the cooler we had a minute ago, that is absolutely temporary, it's just for a minute. Here you see that that is not going to be a heter because it's making the item usable. And therefore, the Chazon Ish lost our entire svara. However, before you put that away, Mr. Bolzum, Rabbi Bolzum, can you just lift up that salt shaker? Rabbi Bolzum?
Joe.
Just lift up the salt shaker. Lift up the salt shaker.
Okay, everyone.
Rav Shlomo Zalman says, according to the Chazon Ish, the salt shaker should be also to open and close. Because what's the whole purpose of a salt shaker? To be able to shake salt at an appropriate speed.
The cover,
and therefore, it's not like the cover of a cap of something else. It only works if you screw it in. If you screw it in, it works. It has its stamps. If you don't screw the top on, and nobody in a billion years asked Shlomo Zalman. Nobody ever heard of an iser to open a, to close or open a salt maker on Shabbos. Of course it's mutter. So therefore Shlomo Zalman rejects this Chazon Ish.
Because of
and therefore, again, we're not going to go through, we're not going to have all the time to go through the svaras of the Chazon Ish, of Rav Shlomo Zalman, but these are just some of the issues. Halach l'maisa, how did we conclude with the injection, with connecting the vial to the, I told the person to do it, to try to assemble it before Shabbos. Again, there are a lot more details. Try to assemble the syringe before Shabbos. And they said that it works, it will be fine, they just have to remember to do it. If not, have a guy do it on Shabbos. But what I forgot to tell the person is that if it's a problem of binyan, in the same way it might be worthwhile avoiding to do it, to put it together, binyan has a sister. What's the sister called?
Soser,
Stira. And therefore, if it's a if one should avoid putting it together on Shabbos, one should also avoid taking it about, taking it afterwards. So that's why there's bona and then there's makapatish. Kilka might be the opposite of makapatish. So again, I'm not telling you halacha l'maisa what the halacha really is, but there are obviously a lot of svaras here. There's a lot of lumdas here, and I figured it's better to avoid it if it's easy to do and do it before Shabbos. B'shas HaTzarech, it had to be done on Shabbos. There's no guy available. I guess we'll have to learn more deeply.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.